the FDA has authorized second COVID booster shots for anyone over the age of 50 and for some people with weakened immune systems. The agency says it wants to boost waning immunity among at-risk people ahead of more possible COVID waves. We're talking about the latest COVID news. We want to hear what you think. We're at 1-800-642-1234. Are you planning on getting a second booster shot? Give us a call. You can also email us ideas@WPR.org. On the line, we have Ajay Sethi, Associate Professor and Director of the Masters of Public Health Program at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Ajay, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Molly.
Well, I'm glad you could join us. Why did the FDA decide to authorize second boosters at this point?
Well, you know, the data from around the world are showing that when people, a few months out of the last booster, the antibody levels are waning. We're at a point in the pandemic in the U.S. where cases are clearly lowering, but we can't expect them to stay low for forever. We're going to have a future surge, and it's important to get the more vulnerable adults boosted again to protect them from severe illness.
And so why is the age 50? I mean, who should be getting the second booster?
Yeah, so I'll say that initially the thought was that getting a second booster for people who are 65 and older was a more obvious sort of cut point. The FDA lowered that to 50 because here in the U.S., about a third of people who are over 50 have some underlying condition that puts them at risk for severe illness. So the cutoff was lowered to be more conservative, simply because it really is important to avoid as many hospitalizations and worse outcomes when cases return.
So who is exactly eligible for this second booster? What types of people beyond those, anyone over 50?
Yeah, so people have an underlying condition, and that could be, for example, obesity. And we know a lot of people may fit that, may be obese. People with hypertension, diabetes, other comorbidities that put them at risk, for that severe illness. Also, of course, we can't forget there are a lot of people with weakened immune systems who are also eligible for being boosted again, simply because we know from the beginning that those individuals have some of the worst outcomes for COVID if they were to be infected.
And so is this becoming like the flu? Can we expect annual boosters?
You know, the FDA is going to be convening their advisory committee on April 6th to sort of think about a new framework for the future of boosters. So let's sort of wait and hear from them to see what the future may look like. I think we can expect to have recommendations to be vaccinated against COVID in the future as new variants emerge. Maybe there'll be a new strategy other than the platforms we're using right now, but time will tell whether we can improve what we have at the moment. They're excellent right now, but we could do better so we can potentially avoid repeated boosters. But having something in the future is going to be needed because we can expect this virus eventually to become a little seasonal, where more of the transmission is occurring during those winter months, like a lot of respiratory viruses, when a lot of respiratory viruses spread.
So I've read some articles about mixing and matching the varieties of vaccines, mixing Moderna with Pfizer and vice versa to increase your immunity. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, there have been some studies done showing that when you mix the vaccine types, the types of platforms that are being used, you get some benefit. It stimulates the immune system in a way that you get sort of a broader array of antibodies that are produced. So the recommendation generally is to get boosted without a doubt. But if you were to mix and match, there is some added benefit to that from the data. You have a choice, and some people might choose a different vaccine for their booster if they felt like the first one produced reactions that they want to avoid this next time. So there's maybe lots of reasons for people to mix and match. But it seems like if you do that, you might get a higher quality response. And so there's some experts who will advocate for that.
Sure. But meanwhile, people with kids under five are still waiting. Where are we at with the research on a COVID vaccine for young kids?
Yeah, April's going to be a big month. Both Pfizer and Moderna have plans to submit their data to the FDA for review. Overall, for both of those vaccines, the safety profile looks good. That what really becomes the issue is whether or not you can get enough protection from the doses that are being given to children for each of those vaccines to make it worth sort of authorizing. And it looks like we will be able to do that, but we've got to look at the data first. The issue has been a bit of a roller coaster for the Pfizer vaccine, where they initially thought two doses would be enough, and then it turned out three doses might be needed. And that happens to be a vaccine where they're testing 1/10 of the adult dose for children under five. So a low enough dose that you don't expect as many reactions if you give an adult dose to a child. But unfortunately, it wasn't as immunogenic. So a third dose is needed, and we'll have to see what the data reveal. For Moderna, they're aiming for two doses, a quarter of the dose that adults get, so a little bit higher, and therefore only two doses needed. And they indicate that it will be good data to warrant authorization. But again, we have to see what the FDA says. I think parents are just going to have to hang tight a little longer for a few more weeks, and we'll see what happens.
So, what would you think is maybe best case scenario if the results come back good, if they're released in April, when would we see these appropriate levels of doses available potentially hitting pharmacies?
Yeah, I think the supply is there. I think what's going to happen is parents will maybe be a little hesitant as to whether they want their young children vaccinated. We often, hear about the anxious parents who are waiting for the vaccines to be authorized. But when you look here in Wisconsin for 5 to 11-year-old children, their parents, have not necessarily decided to get them vaccinated. Only 27% of children 5 to 11 are vaccinated. So under five, I imagine we might see even lower rates of vaccine uptake. And if children had infection during the Omicron spike, I imagine parents are confused as to what to do. I'll say that when the FDA reviews these data and the CDC makes recommendations, I hope parents recognize that, kids getting COVID is not the kind of thing we want to take a chance on. Kids can get long COVID, and getting vaccinated does protect them against that. And if the data shows that they're safe, it'll be worth getting simply because the chances of getting COVID will be potentially high in a future surge.
Well, I'd like to go to the phones now. We have a caller in Slinger. Mike is on the line. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon. So my question is, I've gotten my three shots. My booster is at 5 months, and I want to get the fourth shot. And I've got Moderna, Moderna, and Moderna. So when I go to my provider, as soon as I can, I can request a Pfizer. And will they do that, given that I've had a Moderna, Moderna, Moderna?
Good question. Thanks, Mike.
You can request Pfizer, and you can get Pfizer as your next dose. And some people might say that's a good choice. Others might say stick to Moderna. So I think you'll have to talk to your provider to decide what's best for you. But you'll have both options available.
We're talking to UW-Madison epidemiologist Ajay Sethi about the FDA authorizing a second COVID booster and other COVID news. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Parents, love to hear from you. Are you planning to get your kids vaccinated against COVID once it's available? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenz, in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're talking with UW-Madison epidemiologist Ajay Sethi about the COVID vaccine, additional boosters, vaccines for kids, the possibility of seasonal COVID shots. Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us, ideas@wpr.org. Ajay, I'm wondering what the status is currently of the BA2 variant that's currently circulating.
Yeah, so just this week, the CDC declared that this is now dominant, that somewhere between 51 and 59% of new infections is caused by BA2. And just last week, that was 39%. So surely in a couple of weeks, we can expect almost all infections to be due to this new subvariant. It's a little bit more infectious, about a third to 50% more infectious than sort of the original Omicron that had caused a spike in January. And we can expect that to be the dominant form until another variant comes around. So even though cases are lowering right now, we now are dealing with a virus that's in the US that's more infectious. So over time, when we see that increase in cases, it'll be caused by BA2 or another variant in the future.
Well, and what's your advice as an epidemiologist for how people should, how seriously they should take this, considering that many people are vaccinated, many others are taking precautions, and some people are feeling quite done with this pandemic? How do you advise people to consider distancing, masking, other precautions?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, right. There's a lot of pandemic fatigue. We all feel it. And we are at a point right now where cases, you know, are on the lower side. We can expect that surge later on. So I think people should, you know, appreciate where we are at the moment and understand we do have a lot of immunity out there. There's some estimates by the CDC that 95% of Americans have some kind of immunity, whether that's from vaccination or previous infection. The problem is not everybody with any immunity has enough immunity to protect them against severe disease. So number one, everybody needs to be up to date on vaccination. There are too many people who just have not received all the doses recommended. Maybe they're completely unvaccinated. It's about 15% of society that's really holding out on that. And it's unfortunate. We also have about 15 million seniors, people 65 and older, who haven't been boosted yet after the primary series. And those are going to be the most vulnerable individuals the next time we have a surge. Now there's a recommendation for a second booster for people 50 and older. I'll say that, you know, in the meantime, we should not forget our masks. We should keep them nearby. Even though COVID is lower right now, it's not gone. And I personally choose to wear a mask indoors in public settings and try to avoid exceptionally large gatherings. And if I'm in the middle of a gathering, I don't worry as much as it was maybe last winter or during the winter. But, you know, I'm still cautious and I'm aware of the local epidemiology. When we start to see higher cases, it's important that we all become aware of that. So let's not forget that COVID is still out there.
Yes. Well, I want to go back to the phones. We've got a lot of calls coming in for you, Ajay. Let's go to Pewaukee next, where Peter's standing by. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I am 70 years old, and I've had the two vaccines and the booster. Would it be wise for me to extend this last booster up until the fall season so that the next booster would be working during the most vulnerable months of fall and winter?
Great question. Thanks.
Yeah, Peter has a good question. It's a question that we all have. I would say, you know, at 70, that's an older age. Getting a booster sooner is better than probably later. Especially if he has underlying conditions, then really the time is now, since the last booster was some time ago. I recognize sort of why people would want to time the booster so that they have that protection when cases are increasing. thing is, the cases are already out there at the moment. There's enough spread to be able to pick it up, and it's not a bad idea to get boosted. But I think when you have questions, it's important to just, you know, default by to talking to your doctor and deciding with them what the right choice might be. But the recommendation is to get it sooner than later.
Thanks. I want to go next to Richland Center, where we've got Paul on the line.
Hi, thank you very much. Your guest may not know the answer to this question, but for those of us that really want this second booster, who's going to pay for it? Because my wife heard that the government's not going to pay for this one because they don't have any money to pay for it. Is Medicare going to pay for this? Is our private insurance and supplements going to pay for it? Are we going to be paying for this out of pocket? And I'm sure it's not going to be inexpensive. And I guess I'm just wondering, who's paying for the second booster? I haven't heard anything talked about that.
Yeah, I think it's currently being debated in Congress. Ajay, what do you know?
Yeah, I'm not aware of people having to pay for second boosters right now. Indeed, federal funds are declining for supporting COVID testing and some other things. But I think right now that booster is paid for. We'll just wait over time to see, you know, what the federal government is going to do as there's greater demand for boosters and there's more uptake. But you can assume right now that it's going to be covered until we hear otherwise.
Thanks. Well, we've got more calls coming in. Let's go next to Madison. We've got Tom on the line. Good afternoon, Tom.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm around 60 years old, so I grew up with firsthand stories about polio and smallpox. And so the idea of going to get my booster shot or my, you know, any vaccine I needed just to go to, in, you know, to go to elementary school was just common. But today we have this politicization of vaccines and just common sense responses to COVID. And what can we do to overcome this politicization? Because, I mean, right now there's one party that's trying to kill all of the funding for COVID, and we can't deal with that. We need to have both parties on board.
Thanks, Tom. Ajay, what works? What works when you talk to people who may be hesitant?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what works sometimes because there's been a lot of conversations about this, and we still have, you know, people who are hesitant. We still have a politicized pandemic. It's not surprising because the pandemic affects every aspect of our lives. It has been. And so it's not surprising it's become politicized. I think what's daunting is when every aspect of the way we handle the pandemic, whether it's testing or a new vaccine or monoclonal antibodies or something, there's an argument for everything that's based on ideology, unfortunately. I'm a big believer in just, you know, chipping away with one conversation at a time with people who may not agree with you. It takes patience. It takes a lot of listening and just being open that just remember that everybody who makes decisions bases their decisions on what they feel to be true, even if it's different from what you feel to be true. I think we just have to sort of be patient with each other, have these conversations. And you know, the caller also talked about, you know, pandemics of the past. And I'll say that a lot of people do change their tune when they lose a loved one to COVID or they experience severe illness. It's a terrible way to learn that lesson, but it's another way where people do change their minds.
Yes. Well, let's go next to Milwaukee, where we have Tom on the line. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'm wondering if the constant need for boosters is largely contingent upon the fact that most of the world has not been immunized, and so we keep getting new variants.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you know, the need for another booster is based mainly because the antibodies wane after the third boost or that third shot. Indeed, we do want to stop COVID from spreading around the world, but that is going to take time. That's the reason why we're always vigilant for future variants, because the virus is still out there spreading and mutating and evolving. But the need for another dose is really to boost the antibody levels simply because that's what's required. They're calling it a second booster, but you really could look at that first booster as the third dose in the primary series. We're making these decisions in real time based on scientists coming in real time. And it's clear that three doses is definitely needed to get protection. And now this additional dose called the second booster is going to help for the more vulnerable people.
All right, let's squeeze in one last question. We've got Mona in Appleton. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering on a couple things, mixing the seasonal flu shot with the COVID, if they're going to combine that. I would not be on board with that because I had a pretty harsh reaction to my second Pfizer, but my booster 7 months later, I did not. I was eligible. I got it when I was eligible 7 months later. And also, as far I'm 60 and I don't have any underlying health conditions, do I really need a fourth booster?
Gotcha.
I don't have the underlying. And how long can I wait?
Gotcha. Yeah, we've just got a minute left. Ajay, what do you think?
I'll say in general that the FDA won't authorize any future vaccines where the safety profile is not in favor of people getting it. So if there's a combined vaccine in the future, it'll only be authorized if the reactions are, you know, things that we can handle. I totally respect her having a bad reaction for one of the doses. My third dose for Pfizer wasn't great, but my first two were fine. Sometimes you can prepare yourself for that dose, you know, just avoiding caffeine, avoiding alcohol, getting good rest, and that can maybe help. There's a lot of anecdotal data out there, but getting that fourth dose is really important if you're vulnerable for severe disease. So I would recommend that.
Well, thank you so much. That's all the time we have, but thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Molly.
I've been speaking with Ajay Sethi, Associate Professor and Director of the Masters of Public Health Program at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health.